Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask the Lord to help us as we preach tonight? Lord, thank you for the privilege to stand before your people.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you touch us tonight, Lord, with fresh oil from the throne. I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, help us to receive from you, Lord, in a special way. Pray, God, that that anointing destroys the yoke. Come upon us tonight, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Some more reading if you'd like to turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. I didn't want you to continue standing, but if you would like to continue reading with me, we'll go to Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 12. Exodus 33 and 12, the Bible says, Moses said unto the Lord, see, some are still flipping and looking. Verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast said also, thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now therefore, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The verse that I read all of these for, this is very familiar to us, amen, and the verse that I would like to point out is how that the Apostle Paul in our scripture reading and our scripture text said that I may know him. Moses here, the lawgiver, said, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Knowing God, knowing, amen, what God wants for our life. How important is it for us to know God. The Bible says that there will come a day when those in the end will knock on the door and say, Lord, open unto us. And He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. The Bible tells us that the five foolish virgins knocked on the door after the door was shut. And the Lord said unto them, Amen, depart from me, for I never knew you. Knowing God is so important. Amen. I know that we can say, well, I know God. Well, amen. I know President Barack Obama, but he doesn't know me. If I was standing in a crowd, I know Donald Trump, but he doesn't know me. I know Hillary Clinton, but she doesn't know me. I know the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. If he was to come in here in his wheelchair, I know him, but he doesn't know me. And of course we know God. We know who He is. We know Jesus. But does He know us? I'm not talking about knowing who He is. Amen. As the fact that if the president or the governor or someone was to walk in here, or some famous person, and we would all know who it is. I heard about, I believe it was William Taft, that went into a small church, and they was not expecting him. He was the president at that time. He walked in the church, said that the song leader couldn't sing. Said she couldn't sing. Said she her voice was gone. She couldn't sing. And said, so the preacher, he led singing. Said he called brother so-and-so up to testify. He said, I just can't testify. He said, so the preacher testified. And said the president was there, you know, just sitting in the congregation. Of course, this would have been years ago, I guess hundreds of years ago. I don't know. But said the preacher was writing about it. He said, everybody turned their back on me that night. He said, I had to sing, testify, take up the offering, and preach it all. He said. But knowing God, knowing who He is, knowing His ways, it is so important that we search for God. The Apostle Paul said that, he said, there's only one thing I want to do. He said that I may know Him. Amen. Knowing God, that I can know God in my life. A relationship with the Lord. Amen. Knowing about Him, spending time with Him. It is so important that we, amen, put it at our utmost importance. The top of the list in our life, that we know God and know more about God. Amen. You know that the devils believe in Jesus, but they're not saved. We've got this, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. Well, there's going to be a bunch of devils in heaven, so you better get ready. It ain't going to be what you thought it was. Matter of fact, the devils tremble. That's a whole lot more than a lot of people do. They're not even afraid of God. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I was reminded today when I was thinking about this and about how that we need to know more of God and how we need to reach after God. The Apostle Paul here was sitting in a jail cell, a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ in the latter end of his life, the latter end of his ministry. And yet he says that I may know Him, that I can become more like Him. Amen. That He can touch me in my life. He said, matter of fact, all the things that I can brag about, he said, I don't count them nothing but loss. He said, I just count them nothing but dirt. Amen. And worse than that, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and that I may know Him. I was thinking today about a time, you know, I'm thinking about this easy believism. You know what easy believism is? Just believe anything. Amen. But that's not scriptural. Amen. It takes it to make it. It takes this, what Brother Curtis sang a while ago, the black back book. Where is the black back book? Where is the Word of God? Where is the truth? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise God. We want life, but we don't want truth. We don't want the way. And I was thinking about a time when I flew out of Mexico. I'd been away from Sister Bethany for and my family. Well, let's just go, you know, been away from her and the kids. And so I was coming back, and I may have told this before, and I landed into Phoenix and had been down for several days on missions, and landed into Phoenix and had to go. When you land back in the United States, you have to go through customs. I don't care if you're going from Phoenix to Dallas to Longview or wherever. When you step your feet on the soil, you're going to go through customs. Well, they don't care if your plane's late. The immigration does not care, amen, how late you're going to be. That doesn't matter to them. That dog's going to sniff you, and you're going, you know, whatever. And they're going to go through your bag. So I was afraid I was going to lose my flight. And me and the other preacher was there. And so we finally got through customs, and we ran. We had to go long ways. I think we jumped on a train, get to another terminal. I mean, it was chaos running. And that place, there was a billion people in that airport that day. And everybody in the United States was in Phoenix Airport that day and blocking me. And I had to get where I was going. And I was so afraid I was going to miss my flight to Dallas. And I mean, ran and come running around there and come to that gate. And they hadn't, have y'all left yet? And we was already like, no, we're not. I don't know if they was waiting on us or something. But we got in there. And our seat was in the back, went all the way back, you know, huffing and puffing. I mean, you can imagine. I probably ran 2 miles. I don't know how far I'd run. And dodging people and got on that airplane, sat down, and they shut the doors and everything. They come over, your flight to Las Vegas, such and such, buddy. I come out of that seat and ran back up there and said, I ain't going to Las Vegas. I'm going to Dallas. And, you let me off this plane. Well, come to find out, so that she pulled out her sheet, she said, no, you're supposed to be on here. We're just going from Phoenix to Vegas, then to Dallas. I thought, I ain't going to Vegas. There ain't no way. I ain't lost nothing there, and I ain't going there. And, you know, and so come to find out, I would get in Dallas quicker if I would go through Vegas. And so I said, well, I want to get home, so yes, I don't feel like, you know, staying here and waiting, you know, 7-8 hours. Let's just go. So I sat down there, sat down by a young lady who was a youth leader for the largest church in America. And so I sat down there, and she saw my trouble and frustrations and all, and all of that, and, you know, and everything. Of course, everything is God's going to bless you and help you and all this. I mean, here she was. I turned and looked at her after I got calmed down. I said, why are you going to Vegas? And her face dropped. And for the next however far it was, I opened my Bible and I preached to her about sin. I preached to her that God is just. I said, God will judge you for everything you do in your life. We sat there in conviction of the Holy Ghost into that airplane. She was with a whole group. And she admitted to me that they had already decided they was just going to go and party it up in Vegas and live it up. And the last thing she said to me was, preacher, you know, you ruined my trip to Vegas, but you may have saved my soul. Now, I'm sad to say, but her preacher would never tell her what I told her. It's called easy believism. Reminds me of a young lady in Oklahoma who had went out of the Holiness Church and found, you know, easy believism. That's fine. You can, you know, whatever. I'm not the judge. She was in a car accident and had taken, you know, a turn for a worse and was in a coma. And for some reason, of course, all her family was right and living right. And this young lady, her preacher, I believe, if I get it exactly right, didn't show up at all. Wouldn't come to the hospital. Of course, you know, all them old hard-nosed Holiness people was down there at the hospital, you know, praying and begging God to help her and heal her and all that. And after some time goes by, many from her church had been by there, they finally put the pressure on the pastor, and she, if I understand right, she had been in a coma for about 7 days, and maybe longer, but when that preacher walked in, she come out of the coma, And she said, "You lied to me. I'm going to hell." And they said she fell back on that pillow and never woke up before she went into eternity. Now I pray that God helps us to understand, amen, the truth of knowing God. Knowing God. Peter said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables." We've not went in a back room somewhere and said, "Hey, this is the what we're supposed to do, and this is what we ought to do, and this is what we're not." Yeah, let's take a vote. 12 preachers said yes, and 2 said no. Oh, well, the majority wins. No, it was written by the hand of God through men as they was moved on by the Holy Ghost. I like what, I don't know what that preacher said, but he was, or who he was, but in the Sunday school lesson this morning, amen, where he said, talking about they said we need a new Bible. He said, okay, whoever writes it has to die. He said, because the testament is no good unless the testator dies. Unless the one who give us the word, amen, gave his blood for the covenant. A covenant is sealed with blood. I must preach to you tonight, knowing God is so important in our lives, church. Amen, knowing his way. Moses said, "That I may know thee, that I can know you, O God." What do you mean that I can know you, Moses? Amen, you've been with him on the mountain for 40 days. You're not satisfied? No, that's something about walking with God. We're never satisfied. You see, we want to get to the place in our life where somebody wrote a song, said, "I want to know more about my Lord." Amen. I want to know more about that mansion. I want to know more about the things of God. Knowing God, how important is it for us to know Him? I want to preach about 3 things. The first off, amen, I want to preach about just simple. The simple facts of God. Amen. Keeping it just like it is. Amen. Not watering it down, not blowing it up worse. Amen. But just like the Bible said, line upon line, precept upon precept, and with another tongue and stammering lips will I speak unto this people, he said. Amen. God's word must be just like it is. It must be taken as it is. Amen. When Jeremiah it. Oh, it was so bitter to the taste. Oh, God. Amen. Sometimes that word of God is so bitter to the taste. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. I'm telling you, the word of God, we must take it as it is. He said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Amen. The verse prior to that, "Not as though I had already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after." Amen. "If that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of." What the Apostle Paul is saying is that I can get a hold of what has got a hold of me. God got a hold of me one day. He touched my life. He changed my life. He turned me around. He changed my direction. And I want to get a hold of what's got a hold of me. Amen. It's not good enough for God just to get a hold of us. We got to get a hold of God. It must be an embrace with God, an embrace with His ways, an embrace with His words, that I may know Him, that I can know God, that God can know me. Amen. I know we know God, but does God know us? Has He heard your voice today? Amen. Keeping it simple and true to the facts, to the basics. Amen. There's so many different things, so many different ways. Amen. But you take what the preacher says and run it through the Bible. The Bible said they was more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scripture and seen if what we was preaching was true or not. Amen. Get the old back book, find a grandma somewhere and say, "Grandma, amen, I know you serve the Lord." How many's got a praying, amen, somebody that's elder in your life or somebody you know, amen, find a grandma or grandpa somewhere and say, "Hey, I've got to ask you something. Amen, I need to know." Amen, you've tried the past. Get some wisdom. Amen, keep it right the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, amen, that the apostle Apostle Paul was worried about the Corinthians. I fear lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, in other words, through his slick, through his sly ways. That old devil is so sly. He'll sneak it in so quick. He'll get us tripped up so quick, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. The simplicity of God's Word. Amen. If we're not careful, we make it so complicated trying to make it easy. We make it so complicated trying to make it easy. When the truth of the matter is, it's black and white. It's right there. Go to the Word of God. Young people, read the Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Get your Bible and read it every day. Find somewhere to read. Well, I don't understand everything. That's a lie of the devil. Go to the book of John and read John. How many knows, amen, understands John 3:16? Amen. Read John 3:16. Read John. Start reading John. Read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Read the book of John. Amen. Start in Matthew. Read the New Testament. Read the Bible every day. Amen. God help us. Amen. To follow after God. He said that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. We go about so the effort that we will make to water down the Word of God, to explain it, to make it what we want it to say. He said that the end time, it would come this way. Amen. The end time, they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to read you in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29. It said, lo, this only have I found. This is Solomon talking to Ecclesiastes. Isn't Ecclesiastes a good book? Man, you talking about a great book. Said, lo, this I have found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Amen. God made man, and we get so, our life gets so busy and so hectic, so full of so many different things, we don't even have time for God. We have time for God's Word. How are we going to know more about God? Amen. We're killing ourselves to spend 10 minutes in prayer. Help us, Lord, tonight, Jesus. Help us, Lord, tonight, Jesus. He said, lo, this I have found, that God made man upright. God made man exactly what he needs. Amen. We have sought out so many different inventions. We've sought out so many different things. We have such bettered ourselves as mankind. I mean, we've got all the luxuries of life. We've got everything we need. Yet we're going to hell in a handbasket. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow in our world. We are scared to death to raise children in this world. And yet we've got so many wonderful things in this life. What is it? We need to get back to God. We need to get back to God's ways. We need to get back to how we can know Him. The next thing is a very familiar scripture. It's in Psalms 46. Matter of fact, most of us could quote it. And that says, be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. Be still and know that I'm God. To know God, we've got to calm down, sit still, and listen and be silent and quiet. We're not going to get closer to God when we've got every gidget and gadget and everything and got so many different things going on in our life, demanding our attention. You ever thought about it? You go through a big city and think about all the words? I mean, billboards everywhere and stuff. You know, that man alive. Our mind is so just packed. I mean, just everything. You know, I mean, then you got everything demanding our attention, demanding our eyes, demanding our ears. Amen. We're constantly going, and where is God in the equation? Where is God in my day? Where's God in my life? Where is God? It's every one of us as individuals' responsibility. Amen. To be still and know that He is God. I think it's important. And I know this is so strange. Some of you young people are going to think, what in the world are you talking about? But it's important for you to get alone sometimes. For sure, if you're saved. Get alone without your phone. Alone without distractions. Get alone with God. You know, when a person gets alone, there are battles that are won that are never told from the pulpit. Because they're already won. Nobody knows about them. When a person gets alone with God, amen, there's battles that are never written in books that are won. There's times that we must get alone with God and be still, not being so busy in the pain and all of the things that we face in this life. Everything, the advertisement. Think about advertisements. What is the goal of advertisement? To get you to buy, to get you to get one more thing. We got everything crammed in a storage building right now. We ain't got room in our house for everything we already got. You know, we sing that song, I'm laying up my treasures in that home of love. We need to change it. I'm laying up my treasures in the storage shed down the road. By the way, if you want to buy a storage shed, I know where you can get one. But you know what I'm saying, advertisement. That advertisement's goal is to make what we've got look like it's not as good as what they have. You know, and I know, I believe it. You're looking at somebody that believes it all the way through his bones that it is God's will for us to better ourselves. It is God's will for us to take steps forward. Amen. And everything that looks like it's a step forward is not. But, you know, it is God's will for us. Everything that glitters ain't gold is what I'm trying to say. Amen. But we've got to sometimes steal away and pray. There's a song that says, there's days I like to be. It's in the church hymnal. All alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him of my troubles all alone. Amen. Jesus would steal away and pray. Hallelujah. Sometimes, amen, I said, get the kids in the car. Get them in the car. Hallelujah. Amen. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get in there. Amen. Where are we going? We ain't going nowhere. We're just going to get out of the house. Praise God. We're going to get away from everything for just about 5 minutes. You know, they used to write songs. You like that old song, How Great Thou Art? Then sings my soul. Y'all may sing it to you. No. But one of the verses says, when I hear the brooks and the birds. What is that second verse said? When I upon mountains, through mountains wander, stuff. Come on, y'all help me. Y'all know that. What is it, Brother Curtis? What is it, Sister Bobby? When I through the mountains, what, grander? In other words, just going through, you know, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. When I look down. Anyways, y'all get, in other words, this old writer is saying, when I get out there in nature, sometimes we don't even hear the birds singing because we have a phone to our ear. Amen. Hello? You got to get off of that stuff sometimes. There's no way it's good for the human person. It's not good for the human body, and it's not good for our soul. Come on, y'all, we get to think everything the preacher preaches, he's preaching it as a sin. Well, the reason that is because the only way we listen sometimes is if the preacher does call it a sin. I don't believe I got that here tonight, but come on, church, sometimes, young people, we're getting in a day and hour, there's so many different things that demand our attention, but there's only one thing that matters, and that is we can know God. Amen. Brother Curtis was talking about we used to go by the stars, then they used compass. And you know, somebody brought to my attention the other day, said there was a day where you could ask any person which way was north or south, you know, any adult, which way was north and south, east and west, and said they could tell you. They was conscious of the direction all the time. Does anybody know which way is north right now? I don't. Anyways. Us young generation, all we do is follow that, you know, around like this, you know. I mean, come on now, we criticize Pokemon Go and yet we do the same thing, you know. And what we need to do sometimes is steal away. I think people would be amazed if they get out in the woods sometimes and hear birds singing, squirrels chirping and things like that. I know everybody ain't, you know, geared that way. Maybe just go into a quiet room. There's times that I go in my office.
I'll just sit there
as long as I can. My phone is off. Nobody's bothering me. I don't have a book. I'm just sitting there in the presence of God. Many times in the presence of God, it's so still and quiet. And He calms us. What about those nerves and troubles and situations in your life? Could it be the presence of God could calm it? Be still and know that I'm God. The earthquake, the fire, the wind that pulled the rocks off the mountain, and then God spoke to Elijah in that still, small voice. Can we get to the place where God can speak to us in a still, small voice? How can we get to that place if we know Him, if we search for Him? The Bible says if we search for God, we'll find Him. Y'all don't have to get quiet tonight. I still want you to say amen. Samuel was a little boy. He didn't know the Lord. Samuel didn't know the Lord. God came and said, Samuel. Samuel jumped up and went to Eli. I said, you call me. He said, I didn't call you. Lay down. That old boy's dreaming in there again. God called him again. Samuel, he went back to Eli. You called me. No, I didn't call you. Lay down. Come back the third time. Samuel. Hallelujah, Eli, we perceive the Lord is calling this child. I look at people, I look at young people, and I perceive the Lord is calling them. God is calling us. God is calling us as moms and dads, as grandpas and grandmas. God's calling us. He wants to show Himself to us. Amen. He said, Samuel, when you go lie down, if you hear the Lord call you again, don't come back to me. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I come to tell you tonight, if God's a dealing with your life, amen, you don't have to come to me. Amen. If God's a dealing with your family, you don't have to come to me. But I'll tell you what to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He'll tell you things, amen, that nobody else can tell you. Amen. He knows all about us. Amen. And yet the Lord showed Himself to Samuel that day. Samuel became an old man. They wanted a king because Samuel's sons wasn't walking in the same way. They said, give us a king. God told Samuel, amen, listen to him. Give him a king. They want a king. Give him a king. Said, line out the kingdom. Samuel said, who you going to pick? Said, I'll show you who I'm going to pick. Hallelujah. The Bible said that this big crowd was gathered there. Oh, God. And the Bible says that the Lord told Samuel in his ear. Come on now, the day was one where he didn't even know the voice of God. But he said, Samuel, Samuel. And yet he had come to a place in his life, amen, where God could reach down in the middle of a crowd and whisper. And yet he knew it was God. And God whispered in Samuel's ear and said, it's that man right over there. It's this one right here. Hallelujah. We want to get to the place in our life, amen, where everything doesn't block out the voice of God. Amen. The Bible said you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. How do we know the will of God? How do we know the ways of God? How do we know God? By being still and knowing that He's God. Amen. Get that? Restoration in our soul. Sometimes we're just so beat up. We're pulled this way and pulled that way. Knocked down. Powers of hell and decisions and life. Everything's just such a clutter and a jam. And man, I can't even think right. Y'all still with me tonight? Amen. Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we get in a fight, church. Sometimes we get in a battle. David came to Ziklag and it was burned and all his family and everything was gone. They wept till they didn't have no more power to weep. Amen. They said, "We're going to stone you, David. We're going to kill you." The Bible says that David called for that minstrel. Amen. They began to play and they had the ephod there. And the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. She sat at his feet and heard his word. Amen. It's time for us to get back, amen, to God's way and knowing Him and loving Him and following hard after God. David said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." I want God more than anything. Somebody wrote a song, "I need Jesus more than anything." Somebody else sang, "He's all I need." Amen. He fulfills the longing in our heart and soul. He is the satisfier. Nothing else satisfies in this life. Be still and know that I am God, that I may know Him. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to meet with us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to know you. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to know you. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to follow after you. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Jesus.